Chapter 17. The Word Made Flesh. The divine message radiated into the world for all to hear at Christmastide rings out, that to all who accept Him who is the light, the power is given to become children of God. For us, there is no mightier or more glorious call, for it brings glad tidings whose import cannot be mistaken. We, too, address this call to you. No one need feel excluded from it, and no one can say, "This invitation is not intended for me." To all who receive Him, He gives power. It is this absolute promise that gives us the courage to keep on repeating the divine message over and over again in all kinds of ways. The way to the light need not be impossible for anyone. And yet, when we speak of the only path leading to complete liberation, we are often left with the feeling that we have offended you. When we note your nervousness, the sometimes so reproachful look in your eyes, your inner resistance, indeed your unmistakable opposition, and when our work with you so often resembles a struggle, we ask ourselves, what have we done? What pressure have we exerted? And each time it seems that we have done nothing other than confront you plainly with the message of salvation. To all who accept Him, He gives the power to become the children of God. The incidence of nervous and mental illnesses is increasing alarmingly by the hour. Irritability and tension are so widespread that even the actual gospel message of salvation can increase susceptibility to mental illness. Of course, one can use the divine invitation as a mystic ointment to be smeared on lavishly. But after a certain time, an ointment of this kind loses the power to close the wounds of the soul or of the being. The faculty of nervous reaction has been developed to its utmost limits among Western mankind. The slightest provocation can blow the fuses and result in a crisis. All these things are illustrative of the cosmic revolution, and the situation is going to become even more serious. So much so, in fact, that one could ask if there is anyone normal left. It is possible that many in the school, too, will fall victim to this because for you, as a pupil, all those mystic and esoteric ointments can no longer help. You are now in a situation where a positive breakthrough is the only remedy. As a result of your connection with the power field of the school, you have advanced, to some extent, beyond the majority of mankind. We do not mean in the sense of liberation, but in the sense of your having been driven to the limits of dialectical possibility. Through this, you have become a border dweller. Nothing we can say to you can reassure you any longer. A natural balance, we believe, is no longer possible. No narcotizing can still alleviate the situation. You are surrounded on all sides by high walls, and all that is left to you is suffocation, or a breakthrough. Suffocation results from the lack of an atmosphere in which to live. It means destruction, without alternative. Breaking through the walls is also a painful matter. An extremely oppressing process, but nevertheless, it is one that brings freedom, light, and love to the oppressed soul. You are faced with the choice between the pain of destruction and the pain of the liberation process. For centuries, Western man, in his delusion of superiority, has assumed that Christianity and matter, the higher and the lower life, could be fused together. This delusion is now being crushed to powder by the collapsing walls. For as long as possible, he has ignored reality and truth, consciously or unconsciously, but now the crisis of the downfall is imminent and the pressure of the walls is making itself felt painfully in the lives of us all. It is possible that you may have discovered, in the torment of your feverish seeking, that you will have to exchange your pain for suffering of another kind, the suffering of the breakthrough which leads to healing. As a matter of fact, Christian therapy is a method which runs counter to the interests and desires of your I. But without this painful process, the breakthrough cannot take place. Between you and the new life of freedom, there flows a river. It is a river of death in every respect, and you will have to cross it. It is not for nothing that the ancients spoke of the Styx, the river of the dead, which bars the pilgrim's entrance to Arcadia, the land of bliss. Thus, when the Bible trumpets its message of liberation, to all who accept Him, He gives the power to become children of God, you should understand that when you answer this call, you will first have to cross the River Styx before you can reach Arcadia. The Styx symbolizes the walls which prevent your passage. Whether you call it the Styx or the Jordan, the image remains the same. We are speaking to you now in accordance with our task, about the ways and means of your reaching the other bank of the Styx, about the classical ferryman who must take you across, and about the fare which you owe him. Can you understand that such words are much more useful in kind than speaking of peace and security and trying to narcotize you with mysticism for the umpteenth time? To all who accept him, he gives the power to become children of God. How does this acceptance and this granting of power take place? The prologue to the Gospel, according to John, clarifies this when it says, "All who believe in his name, who are born, not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Thus there are five conditions you will have to fulfill in order to cross your River Styx. First, you must believe in his name. You may not, of course, take this literally, although many do, with the result that the pain of suffering will not leave them. Some claim that there is a magic power in every name, and that by means of a Kabbalistic method, it is possible to free this power and utilize it for one's own purposes. Just try it. Release the magic power of the name of Jesus Christ and see whether it can help you. It goes without saying that the agony of suffocation will not leave you. To know a name in the sense meant by the holy language implies understanding the entire import, range, and depth of a complete reality. To know his name means to understand fully the meaning of the new life, of the immovable kingdom. Believing in this reality can never mean gaining insight from books and scriptures, or through hearing sermons and lectures, or by relying on some sort of subconscious sensitivity. Believing in this sense means the connection of your consciousness with the new life, with the eternal reality. It is a glimmer of light which breaks right through the walls. This faint glow eases the pain of suffocation and allows us to feel, instead, the pain of yearning for the light which we see but do not yet possess. In order to break right through the walls, you must be born not of the blood. The blood of countless generations speaks in every cell of your being. You are bound in and by the blood. As long as the blood still speaks in you and you testify of it with every thought, every feeling, and every action, the pain of suffocation cannot leave you and you experience the suffering of nature. The blood is the river of death, the Styx. You will have to break every last bond of the blood right down to the smallest detail. As soon as the language of the blood has been stilled, so that not even the softest whisper is heard, you will notice how cracks are beginning to appear in the walls, and the light of Arcadia, the land of bliss, will penetrate ever more strongly. Beside the pain of longing, you will now feel the pain of the touch, the fire of the new life as a sword. And then you will become acutely aware of the truth of the words, "I have come not to bring peace, but the sword." Also, in order to be able to break right through the walls and end the pain of suffocation, you will have to be born not of the will of the flesh. Has your will been silenced? When the walls oppressed you and all kinds of conflicts built up within and around you, how many times did you exert your entire willpower to avert the danger? But you did not succeed. You simply shifted the emphasis, exchanged one difficulty for another. Even if you exert all your willpower and all your magical faculties to the utmost, the ferryman cannot carry you across the Styx. Thus, the prologue to the Gospel of John destroys the delusion that purified blood can regain Arcadia, or that a magical faculty born out of the will of nature can tear down the walls. And now there still remains a fourth delusion, that of liberation through the will of man. When the pain of powerlessness has been added to the agony of longing and the anguish of the touch, you must experience the pain of hopelessness. Being born of the will of man directs attention to the coming and going of civilizations, to the maintenance of the race, to the turning of the wheel, to death and reincarnation. Many believe that the rotations of the wheel correspond to the windings of a spiral path, but a greater mystification has never been fabricated. This brings us to a difficult point, since at the moment you have no means of verifying that evolution from one life to the next is an illusion. Much will be gained if we can help you to overcome this mystification and feel the pain of hopelessness. Think for a moment about the Buddha. Why does he try so desperately to be free of the wheel, free of the will of man and of earthly birth? Because the journey from life to life does not follow a spiral, but a circular course. Then think of Jesus Christ. Why would he so consistently reject this nature if liberation were possible through the will of man? Because the pain of suffocation will remain if you yield to this misconception. Whoever discovers this delusion experiences the pain of hopelessness, the agony of yearning, the anguish of being touched, and the pain of powerlessness. This fourfold anguish shatters your delusion. And when that absolute nothing, that utter being nothing, is born of anguish, then, in the midst of your walls, you are broken open, emptied and purified for the saving light. That is the meaning of the words. To all who accept him, he gives the power to become children of God. That acceptance, that receiving, can take place only in the self that has become empty. Only then can the pupil be born of God. The birth out of God means the touch of the Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit, which fills the prepared system with its glow. The birth out of God signifies the breaking down of the old system and the rebuilding of the original being. The birth out of God is the Word made flesh. This is the message. These are the tidings of salvation that we have to bring you again and again. Transfiguration out of the fivefold pain of nature's downfall. Pupils of the Rosy Cross call that process dying in Jesus the Lord. Whoever is ready to die in that way breaks through the walls and is reborn through the Holy Spirit. He finds the ferryman who takes the pilgrim across the river of death. Nothing can hold him back. With unerring certainty, his guide will bring him to the radiant life of Arcadia. May God grant that you recognize the spirit of the power field of the spiritual school. Make your choice between the pain of suffocation and the pain of a new birth. For though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, but not in you, you shall be yet forlorn.